Dan and Rand and Jay will share tales of folks so unaware they lack in grace and sometimes choose the life they choose will make the news. Breaking down each epic fail in Florida, there's half price bail. I'm happy to say they
couldn't make this up.
So listen to our podcast jam with co-host Arm and Dan. And Bert, don't be a jerk, cause when the music hits, the funny hits, and we are gonna take you down. Stick around, make a sound, hunker down, it's Dumb People Town.
All right, everybody, welcome to Dumb People Town, another episode. We keep chugging along with great guests, and we're thrilled to have this guy on because I've said this to Randy before. You know, when we met you, we were fans of yours already through Loveline. Adam Carolla, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Great to have you on. But one of the things Randy and I said was, it's amazing to us that you didn't start as a stand-up comic like way, 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 way back. Like you were in construction. You weren't doing comedy.
Right.
That is strange because your mind thinks like a stand-up comedian always.
Your takes are well thought out. Just bits. They come out almost like fully formed. It's like if you were to shit a Mona Lisa. Like, I didn't put this in.
You shit out fully fleshed out bits out of your mouth, which is kind of amazing.
Well, thank you. I've always sort of thought I should have a grasp and an idea and like a motivation for what this is before I say it. And so, I don't know. I guess there's a lot of people like I could remember when we used to sit around Jimmy's writing table a million years ago, and I was just in the writer's room, and I was sitting there once, and I was with Bill Simmons, we know from the podcast, and at some point, he said to like somebody, like someone was pitching an idea, and he went, nah, it's not funny. That's not funny. It should be something else. And then everyone like sort of looked at him and said, well, what do you want to do, Bill? And he's like, I don't know, not that. And I thought, you got to have your
you
own.
You got to have an idea behind
something
that.
Something chambered before you raise
before you speak
your,
up
before
and
you
say
raise
no.
your hand. And I've just always sort of felt that way and been that way. And I'm thank you. I'm flattered that you bring that up. But to be fair to Bill, it was something with Tom Brady. I can't remember what it was.
Well, he was protecting is what he was doing.
Exactly. He was protecting a lie that we all know. No,
but I've just thought your job is to try to get it out, choose the verbiage, be succinct and do it in such a way where it's like, oh, that might be a finished product, even if you're improvising.
Yep. But they're like bits. And I will say this, it's almost like you figured it out as you were doing your show. And I think what's interesting is that Daniel Van Kirk joining us. How
Great
you doing,
to have
bud?
You, buddy.
Dan, who is relatively new to stand up and been doing podcasts with us for a long time, came into stand up with a tremendous ability to take a story or something that happened to him and immediately break it down in a way that he would on the podcast, but on stage, it's like, yeah, it's a fully formed bit. This just happened. He'd like lose his computer at Midway Airport.
The day before. You know how comics go, this happened to me yesterday, and you're like,
right,
that didn't.
It's bullshit. Did not happen. It would happen to him on the way to the gig, and suddenly he's got a 29 minute story about it.
That's I don't want to be a one upper, but I do a lot of jokes where I go, here's something that happened to me in the future.
No, wait a minute.
So it wasn't
that?
Even like my girlfriend broke up with me.
No, she will break up.
She will.
And this is why she will break up with me.
Yeah.
And there you go.
That's as fresh as the comedy comes.
It's fresher than to be able to predict the future is great. How long have you been doing this? You were on Loveline for a decade. We just did your phenomenal podcast, The Adam Carolla Show.
Thank you.
You were on Loveline for about a decade. Is that?
Yes. That's
and
correct.
In that time, you know, when someone calls up just by the sound of their voice, your first thing is who touched you?
Yeah.
Who touched you? You know what I mean? Like just the way they say hello. Who touched you?
Yeah. Well, you know, you pick up so much in people's tone and cadence and attitude. And it's so much more than you would get if you were in the room with those people.
Yes.
So, you know, people do this thing all the time where they go, you haven't even met this person. How do you know? Or you haven't seen this person or you haven't looked them in the eye, whatever it is. And I go, exactly. I know a lot more because other things cloud other things. Mm-hmm. I mean, when somebody looks a certain way, sometimes good, sometimes bad, there's so many different directions you can go. When you just hear their voice, especially
it's clear.
It's clear. So you're sitting there in the middle middle of the night in a windowless room and you have the headphones on, and I would always just close my eyes and I would just listen to what their voice sounded like. And after a while, patterns start emerging.
Sure.
Like, angry people obviously sound angry, but you can do a thing where it's like, oh, gay, racist people sound racist.
They don't
have to be talking about race.
No.
There's just a certain sound that people start to have for everything.
Let me tell you another thing. And you're like, oh, right, you didn't even say
here
one
comes
thing.
Something about Mexicans. You know,
yeah.
And another.
And even if I agree with those thoughts, I could still. Yes, and. I went to the ground.
Yes, you like to bump things up.
Well, not only lazy, but. So you would start hearing things in people's voices, and then there were little things like the sort of angry female who was angry at her dad, and it was really easy because you'd go like, what do you do for a living? And they'd go, I work. Mm-hmm. And you go, oh, that's a super angry, cunty, like passive aggressive.
Here it comes.
And that wasn't the answer. Right.
I am the dad in this relationship.
You're
now.
You're getting it out. Yeah.
And now
playing.
I'm getting what you're giving me, the super short, curt, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you go like, who do you work with? They go, I work with people. And you go like, okay, she's fucking seething, angry.
She's mad.
By the way, this is pure because I don't even know her.
Right.
And
she's coming out at
she's
you.
She's pissed at me.
Coming out at you.
So what did your dad do to you and for how long? And did he use lube?
Yeah.
Those are all my questions.
Well, I love that you are, I feel like you're well versed in this area of being able to pinpoint exactly what is going on with a lot of anybody, a lot of times dumb people doing dumb things. And that is what this show is. It's Dumb People Town. We've arrived. We're here with, like, I would say a dumb people expert.
Yes.
Adam Carolla here. And
I may have spoken to more and interviewed more dumb people than maybe other.
I'm sure you have.
So then when Dan, who gets these stories sent to him through our wonderful
listeners,
fans, listeners, they can send it to hashtag Dumb People Town. At Daniel Van Kirk on Twitter. We then try and break down and figure out the actions of who they are. And so who better to break this down than the great Adam Carolla, who's with us right now.
Let's do it.
Shall we jump into a story?
Let's do it.
Lance Hunter, he hashtag Dumb People Town, at Lance Hunter.
Sounds like someone who actually hunts
Lance.
With a lance.
Or
not a gun.
Yeah.
He's looking for lances.
Got a gay bar kind of theme to it.
The Lance Hunter. I'll see you down at Lance Hunter. Hey, are there any windows at the Lance Hunter? No. It just smells a lot like cologne.
Hold on. There's one in between the two stalls.
Oh, that's
right. It's not very tall. It's about waist high.
Porthole.
Don't take a knee, though.
It's Lance Hunter.
Unless you want a retina.
Unless you want to take a
knee. Unless that's what
you're into. That's why you're at the Lance. I'll see you down. See you down at the
Lance Hunter. It's a gay TV show spun off of the classic early 90s, late 80s TV show, Hunter.
Yeah.
Remember Hunter?
Fred Dreyer.
Just walking around punching people.
Yeah.
Remember? He had no qualifications. Was he an ex-cop?
Are you a cop? A detective? Nope. Just walk.
Former NFL player.
He opens up his wallet and it's just nothing. And then he just punches you.
Well, he played by his own rules, which was, there's a lot of that going on.
And he did a lot for like male pattern baldness on television.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah.
Well, because he was simultaneously balding with also big, thick head of hair at the same.
Yeah.
He was like at the same time. Yeah, he was a defensive end for the Los Angeles Rams. Overshadowed by Jim Youngblood.
Mm-hmm.
And how about the fact that the inside linebacker was named Jack Youngblood on the same team?
What about Joel Youngblood? Wasn't Joel Youngblood a guy there too?
I don't know.
Jack and Jim both played on defense.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't related. Their last name was Youngblood, and you couldn't have solved it by putting a J in front of either one of their names.
To me, it's like
confusion.
It's like the restaurant. It's like the supermarket chains in Los Angeles, Vons and
John's.
We've always said this about John's. Vons, pretty good,
decent,
good. Mm-hmm. John's, way lower rent.
Also, how lazy do you have to be? Because they take that piece of lucite and the O and the N and the S is all sunblasted.
Sure. And then they put a little triangle to make you think it looks like a V. They want you walking in there and it feels like it's a Vons.
Yeah.
Until you get inside and you're like, how the fuck did I get inside the Grand Bazaar in Istanbul?
Yeah.
You're like,
crazy.
Holy shit. Was that a bat that just flew at me?
Also, it's fun to go to bad markets because you're like, you eat that part of the pig? Sure.
Yeah.
Snouts and feet, man. Yeah, and you're like, what?
It's funny. I didn't realize Mr. T had a line of salad dressings. Suddenly.
They're very good.
Have that.
So, yeah, look at his 700 Island. Shaq. That looks amazing.
Shaq's running out into baby food. I didn't know that. It's got.
That's probably not even a bit.
It's got pineapple baby food. That's awesome.
Well, yeah. Lance Hunter sent this one, and he said the part that makes this perfect in his tweet, the dumbest people in this story are the ones who didn't move.
Okay. That's all right. Great.
Go by it.
Beautiful setup.
Jason McFadden was at work one morning in late January when he got a text message from his wife, Cassie. Quote, "What the crap do I do?" it read.
Okay, that this is almost too much backstory in an article.
Really?
About something.
Oh, no. You get a text from your wife, your girlfriend, what the crap do I do?
That right. means it's
That's
she's
it.
Partly blaming this problem on you.
Right.
Right?
Like, she's
look
mad.
At what I have to deal with. Now, you tell me what to do since you're not here to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
The text was followed by a picture of a rattlesnake inside a toilet in their Texas home.
Oh, I heard about this one.
Well, if you live in Texas, you should expect to have a rattlesnake in your toilet at least once.
Yeah.
That is the price of living
you're
in
gonna
Texas.
You're going to go to a football game on a Friday night, and you're going to have a rattlesnake up your asshole.
Adam, you've done so much like
yes,
work.
Plumbing
and,
work.
Yes. Yes. And work with contractors. You had
sure.
a great show.
Thank you.
Yes. How does a snake, where has the piping faltered that a snake gets inside?
Well, let me explain how these things work. And first off, that's why, I'll explain how toilet works, I'll explain how drain works, a sink works, and a trap works. Like mm-hmm. the reason the tub is different than the toilet. But this why, if you're in Texas, you should also have a mongoose in your pantry. Because you just get Ricky Tikki Tabby to come in there and
take
handle
it.
Out.
Just destroy
you know what I mean?
It.
Yeah.
It's preemptive. That's just,
yeah.
Yeah.
So the toilet, so what you have is a trap, and that's that U-shaped thing
yes.
that's underneath your sink, right?
Right?
And the reason you have that U-shaped thing that's underneath your sink is that's where water sits. So when you run your sink, the water goes down the sink and it goes around and out, but it's certain amount just settles in that U.
Yeah.
So if you picture the U, the last, 4 inches is filled with water. Well, that creates a vapor lock so that the gases that are in the septic system don't go back up into the pipe and go in and bleed through your sink.
So your house doesn't smell like shit.
Right. And so if you ever get into a situation where it's like you're walking in your entry hall and it's like, God, it smells bad in here. That's because no one used the sink for 3 months, and the water evaporated,
great.
And you lost your vapor barrier.
You need the vapor lock.
You need the vapor lock in there. Now, toilets have the trap built into them.
Right.
They don't have it underneath like your shower has it or like your sink has it. It's built into the actual toilet.
You can see it in the molding sometimes,
yes,
right?
You see it on the side.
Right.
In the trap. And the thing is that's pretty defeatable for a snake, you know.
Pretty much its shape.
Listen, the thing you use to unclog your toilet is called
a snake.
Why wouldn't there not be a snake there? You should be surprised every time you look in the toilet there's not a snake.
Yeah. There should be a snake.
Quote, like everybody else, Jason McFadden said, my jaw dropped. Mm-hmm. The snake in the toilet was initially discovered by the couple's young son, Isaac McFadden, 4 years old. Mm. Isaac only saw the head at first, then tried to flush it, said his father, and it kept coming up. The snake was like...
We've all had that.
Yeah. In one way or another.
You've already washed your hands, you just stand there waiting to flush again.
How come a snake or any other predatory animal never hurts a kid as long as the kid doesn't know it's in danger?
Right.
Yeah, right.
Every single movie, there's like a gorilla or a baboon or something. He's like petting it.
Yeah.
Nice fluffy pillow.
Because if the kid's
nice
dumb
pillow.
Enough, they become friends.
Yeah, they sleep on him and they tug their ear. And then the second you walk in your bathroom and start screaming, that's when it pounces.
That's what happened at the Cincinnati Zoo. Everybody would have been cool. This kid would have been fine.
Right.
It's like Wile E. Coyote when he runs off a cliff. Yeah. Only... when he
falls,
looks down,
he
really has to look down.
He has to say yikes.
Right.
And then
he goes down.
If he just stayed in a suspended state of I'm still on the cliff,
Right.
He's fine.
He'll be up
to
right.
steps back.
And that's what kids are constantly in with wild animals.
They do that when they're hurt, too, right? You guys all have kids. I don't. But you say to a kid, you're fine. 9 times out of 10, they will be fine. Yeah. You say you are horribly injured, my favorite, all of a sudden, they're horribly injured.
My favorite thing to say to kids.
They don't know until you tell them. With hurt, and that's exactly how we work at our house.
Look, when I see something happen bad to my kids, I'm like, I saw that. Doesn't mean it's good or bad. It just means it's kind of like one of those confusing things that they don't know that then have to figure out, and then they're kind of like beyond it.
Right.
I saw that.
Because they are coming up with a little bit of like, did you see what just happened to me?
I saw it.
We vlogged it.
I saw it.
So Isaac, the 4-year-old, repeatedly in the bathroom trying to flush a rattlesnake down the toilet. Mm-hmm. He told his mother, said Jason McFadden, who was a little skeptical, because we have stuffed animal snakes and toys, she said. You know, kids, they do stuff. Which means she either, A, doesn't believe that there's a snake in this toilet, or B, cares so little about their plumbing that if he's just trying to flush one of his stuffed animals down the toilet, that's
just
fine.
Let him do it.
We don't care.
Kids, they do stuff. They'll flush anything down there.
We, you know, first off, I put a pox on my sister because we're so goddamn stupid. My sister, you know, it is true. They have these snakes. They look like snakes. Mm-hmm. They move. They feel. They whatever. Why wouldn't they be a snake? And especially to a 3-year-old. Mm-hmm. When my kids, they're 10 now, they're twins. My kids were like two, three years old. My sister bought them like this 148-piece Mr. Supermarket swap set.
Yes.
Yep. Where it's like, oh, you got a shopping cart. You got your carrots. Mm-hmm. You got your produce. You got your broccoli. You got your everything. So it's this big thing. It's made in China. It's covered with SARS and lead paint. And what's in it is carrots, miniature broccoli, spinach, apples, cherries, everything.
I know it.
Except for it's all made out of
wood or whatever.
And plastic.
Painted by 2-year-olds.
That'll kill you. Right?
Asbestos.
Yeah. So you go down, you eat dinner in your kitchen, and there they have the carrots and the cauliflower and the celery and everything, and you're arguing with them. Come on, eat it. Come on, eat it.
Just put one in your mouth.
You're picking it up, you're taking a bite, you're giving them a bite later. Later on, you go up to the bedroom, they're playing in their room, you come walking in, they're now gnawing on a carrot, and you slap it out of there. Get that out of your mouth! What are you doing? Come on,
that's
you want to choke?
That's how you break a hostage.
What kind of message is this? Now, look, those candy cigarettes are illegal, right?
Yes, I remember.
Right, because we don't want to. You spend the beginning part of your day begging them to eat this stuff. Mm-hmm. Then you spend the evening slapping the shit out of their mouth because they're eating a thing that looks exactly the same. They're 3 years old.
Yeah.
Is this the worst gift you could ever get a human being?
Same with the snake.
Yeah, so she's like, I thought it was a toy, so that's fine. Kids do stuff. Very attentive mother. When another son yelled out about it, this time more alarm in his voice because she didn't trust the 4-year-old, McFadden said his wife knew something was wrong. Mm-hmm. McFadden said he recognized the snake as a threat and told his wife to kill it. She grabbed a broom, he said, in an attempt to block it in the toilet. The snake, which had first been spotted by the couple's young son, as I said, pushed its way out and slithered onto the floor. They say what happens next involves like a garden hoe, a shovel, branch cutters. This seems like overkill for a snake. How many times did you try and fail?
Oh my God. Yeah. But that thing, okay, you got a broom and you're trying to keep it in the toilet and
I shut the door to the bathroom and leave the house.
Yeah.
Really? No, but you don't want it. Then what if it's in your house somewhere? Well, you got to keep it in the bathroom.
Keep it in the bathroom.
Well, he said shut the door, but we don't know how much swing space is under that door.
Yeah, that's right.
It's undercut too much. Like if they,
I think I'd go coat hanger to like pick it up and out like they do with like little, like hook
deals. I only have the wooden ones. So I'm
fair enough.
Kind of rich.
That's true.
It's too rich for my
smell of cedar. No, so the deal is this. First off, there is no item that is used specifically to kill a snake. It's always like, I used a backhoe. I used a garden hoe. I used a wooden wheel.
Yeah.
I used a tire iron. I used wood chipper. Like, there's no one item that's just used to kill
a snake
snakes.
Killer, because it would be called the snake killer.
Yeah. The number one thing is a shovel, evidently. But, Also, I agree. Like, I'm of the mindset to just shut the door and maybe move and not tell my family.
this life is over. Like, we're done with this life now.
Like the Oakwoods up here, yeah, like some sure. executive thing. Yeah. Just yeah. tell my family. I just want to get my hand.
Where did he go?
Well,
yeah, he left. Snake in the bathroom.
You guys would have definitely left because McFadden went home to make sure everything was okay. When he returned to his job, he also went ahead and tracked down a local snake company or removal company to swing by their home.
Because he can only use the phone at work.
He's out of minutes. That, in a nutshell, is how the McFadden family discovered that there were more snakes around their home.
No.
A lot more snakes.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to ask you guys a little game that we like to play, little number games here on this show. How many snakes in total, including the one in the toilet,
24.
Did they find?
24. You say 24?
I want to say 12.
12 from Jason
Clark.
I'm
going to say 400.
400. In total, 24 Western Diamondback rattlesnakes.
Get out of here. Heard the story. Okay. Yeah. But still,
that's a great
paying
guess.
Attention in 3 days ago.
You retained the number.
Yes, yeah,
24
nice.
They were located on the family's property, yeah. including the one in the toilet, according to a Facebook post from Big Country Snake Removal. Mm-hmm. Feel free to sponsor the show.
Yeah. Follow us on Facebook.
13.
Who is going to follow Big Country Snake Removal on Facebook?
When you need them, you will.
I just like what they post about, you know, like.
I don't know. I feel the same way Supreme about, like, when justices. They come out with a, like, they show a movie trailer. And then they want you to go to their website. I'm like, I just saw the trailer.
What else am I going to do?
Or
on your
a
site?
Company like Mr. Follow us, Mr. Clean. Follow us on Instagram.
Right, yeah,
follow
yeah,
you right. on Instagram.
Why?
Clean floors.
No, I'm with you. Like you have a company where you make sponges. One is sponge, the other has a scouring side to it.
It's I like, want to hear what you have on. To say about Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Right, I gotta go online.
Yeah, yeah. I think I know what you do.
13 adult rattlesnakes were removed from a storm cellar at the McFadden home, according to the Facebook post. Another 10 were removed from under the house. Oof. 5 of the snakes at the property were babies. The family posts. The family in the post said they had no idea.
Of course they didn't.
You have. You are a 4-year-old kid. You are never going to sleep in that house ever again.
Yeah.
And also,
I'm afraid.
They win.
That's bad parenting. But it's also, it's a one-upper kind of conversation at a cocktail, you know?
Because you get
next to that person.
Can't beat them.
We had cockroaches. They were all over the kitchen.
Sure. Yeah.
And then someone else will chime in and like... We had a mouse infestation.
Oh. How many mice did you have?
Well, we saw three.
You saw three?
But if you see three, there's five.
That must have been, rough. Have been rough for you guys. It
feels like a lot.
Yeah. And then you just lean back and be like, anybody else have any other?
Silverfish.
Oh!
They're not harmful, but obviously
just
nobody wants
impossible
to
kill.
Look yep. at them. Yep. So, you know.
I guess that's everybody.
Well, actually, our koi pond got out. We had way more koi fish than we originally planned on.
Oh,
what's that?
Oh, we had a barn owl eat one of our koi.
Ooh.
That was so really that's kind of nature.
How do you explain that to the kids?
Yeah, so I don't know if you could do anything worse than that.
We had 24 rattlesnakes, one in our toilet. So I believe this dinner party is over.
People silently.
Just the sound of cars,
just
doors
people,
closing.
The next
sound
is people getting their coats.
Yep. Yeah. I'd be like, we didn't open my wine. Can I just take it back? Yeah, nobody really wanted it. Okay.
Just take it.
All right.
Yeah. You drop the bottle opener with corkscrew on the ground in the kitchen. Just walk, you hear the reverberation like they were doing a bad movie, even though it couldn't make a noise like that, but still does it anyway.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
We'll get out of here on this. How is this possible? The Facebook. Well, it just happened. It's very surprising, Jason McFadden said of the discovery. Kind of gut-wrenching a little bit just to know that many snakes were living right under our feet and we didn't even know it, literally.
You walk into your boss. Now, we've all had jobs where we've worked regular jobs, regular offices, whatever. You walk into your boss and you say, listen, my wife just found a rattlesnake in the toilet. What boss doesn't say, take the day off? I will pay you for this day.
Yeah.
He had to come back to work.
Yeah.
Why? Unless you're a surgeon, you don't come back to work.
I think he wanted to go back to work.
Yeah, he was
Honey, are we
times.
Done? Are we done now?
Are
Can
we
I
good?
Go back to work?
I came home.
There is that thing, and you guys like tell me, well, Sklar's, you know, in that you're married, you have kids, and your whole life is like, these kids, they're always pulling us 1,000 directions. They always want, they're pulling on mommy, they're pulling on daddy, everything. And then at some point, you find yourself alone in the house with your wife, and you're like, I'm going to watch TV. I know all we do is complain about not having this, but I am kind of used to going where I'm going and closing the door and watching TV, but now this is kind of awkward.
This is, we either have to have sex or one of us has to die.
I should be drawing you a bubble bath, we're just here.
Yeah. We're wasting this time.
I don't know what to do.
Let's just do our own thing.
Let's just go to our separate parts
of the
house.
You guys are like the date scene from Batman when they're in the room. I've actually never been in this room before, and they don't even know how to like interact at a table.
Yeah. My kids they went to a Valley Forge in Pennsylvania for like 6 days. And my wife and I are just left alone with our own thoughts now.
You aren't prepared for that.
And we don't know what to do. Like, more eye contact in the kitchen or not sure how we're supposed to handle this.
You start fixing everything in the house.
Start working on stuff.
Stuff that's not even broken.
Yeah, let me just be safe.
I just want to re-screw in the light bulbs. Is that okay, honey?
Yeah, it's weird because you do have this thing where it's like you feel like you're... I think it's a lot like when the... daughter is reunited with her biological mom and they're just standing on the porch. Mm-hmm. It's like, I've been thinking about this for 31 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here we are.
After the hug.
It's a big porch.
All right, I'm going to go watch TV.
That's right.
I'm going to go watch TV
with Carolla. That's what it is. All right, let's take a break, guys. Yep. That's first segment in the books. Adam Carolla here with us on Dumb People Town. And, of course, he knows exactly how to zero in with Daniel Van Kirk. We are the Sklar Brothers. Stick around. More Dumb People Town right after this.
Stick around. Make a sound. There's more Dumb People Town.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Dumb People Town. Please, if you're not following us on Twitter, we're at Sklar Brothers. He's at Daniel Van Kirk. Adam Carolla is at Adam Carolla.
Go listen to his podcasts, his hilarious, all the stuff that he's got going on. Adam Carolla Show live stuff. Where can they find all your dates and all that stuff?
You just go to adamcarolla.com.
And you can find the books.
The books.
Adam, have access to the, super old episodes back when it was just you and another person having a conversation?
We just did our 2000th episode.
Congrats.
Wow. That's insane.
And we also have a whole bunch of other motivational stuff I call Take a Knee. It's a sort of like one-on-one with interesting guys like Mel Brooks and stuff like that. We talk all about their life and luminaries from the business world and stuff like that. And if you go to adamcarolla.com and you do the subscription for like $2.99 a month, you have access to all the archives and then all the take-a-knees and all the live shows.
I started listening back when it was, you would just have those conversations. I'll never forget, I was home in Rochelle, Illinois, listening to your episode with Joe Rogan, one of his first times on when you started out the podcast. And Joe told his theory about there's never been attacks on humans by killer whales since World War II because that's how pilots trained, by shooting killer whales in the Pacific Northwest. So Joe believes, and other people do as well, that they all communicated with each other and said that we are the higher species. So they
stopped. Killer whales are?
Yeah. So outside of captivity, they've stopped attacking humans because we used our fighter pilots to train by shooting them during World War II.
Well, they don't attack unless they're at SeaWorld.
I forgot about that as well.
That's unbelievable.
Having my mind blown.
I think I like about killer whales is they have that dorsal fin and it wilts when they're unhappy. Mm-hmm. And I'd like one of those.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I'd like just to walk around with my dorsal fin like flipped
down.
Over.
People would know exactly how to come at
you. Don't bother them.
Yeah.
Don't talk to them.
My kids would be like, leave him alone. He's not taking you to Knott's Berry Farm. Look at the dorsal fin.
He's obviously not
having a good day.
You just can't
give
do
his
it.
Space.
My mom wants to talk to my wife. I'm like, the thing is down.
Yeah.
You can't talk to her.
Somebody get that guy coffee and a bagel. Look at that dorsal fin.
And then leave him alone. And then just let him have
Give
it.
A yeah. coffee and the bagel and then walk away.
Yeah.
And also, we could have moments, too, where it's like, I do that move where I get up from my nap on a Saturday and my kids are eating In-N-Out Burger with my wife and they're all eating and Sonny played his basketball game and then they're all digging into a double-double. And I go like, oh, did you buy one for me? And they go, no, we just picked it up. And you'd see my fin slowly move over. And then she'd be going, I'd be, because I keep a stiff upper lip, you know, I'd be like, it's no problem.
But
I'll just go ahead and thaw out like a shepherd's pie or something.
But you'd see the fin, but the
fin,
down.
The fin wouldn't lie.
The fin would betray you.
The fin wouldn't lie.
What did Rasheed Wallace always say? Fin don't lie.
The fin don't lie. And I'd say, as I've said before, you know, I do pay for the burgers, and I condone you paying an extra $2 to get an extra one.
For me.
And if we get stuck with one, then Sonny will eat it, or I'll eat it, and the fin would just be slopping
over. I love that you would have a blanket statement. Feel free to include me in the in my money that you use.
Yes, I've done it many times, where it's like,
it's a blanket
you're
statement.
Going to In-N-Out. My wife's always funny, because she'll go like, I didn't know if you wanted a burger or not.
Just
it's like, well, first off, it's an In-N-Out burger.
I always want an In-N-Out burger. Bring me an In-N-Out burger if I'm in the process of eating an In-N-Out burger,
right,
because I will have the other one.
If I got a job at In-N-Out and you pulled in, and you order an extra one for me to eat on my
break. I'm working there.
Like, so this like thing where it's like, I didn't know if you wanted an In-N-Out. It's like, well, it's first off, it's 1 p.m.
Yes.
And yes, I'm not vegan, so no, I want an In-N-Out burger. But at $2.21 a piece, and I'm rich, feel free to just grab an extra one. And there will never be a scenario where I go, what's this rogue doing here? What?
How dare you?
I was going to have strained peas. What are we doing, people? We're never going to get this back in the cow. Come on now.
You will not get in trouble.
It's not a scenario. The one scenario doesn't exist.
Right.
Of course, there is the scenario of, did you get me a hamburger?
All the time.
And we never have to. All you're doing is waiting in line and then giving them the credit card that I pay for. So how could this ever?
It won't take any longer.
The dorsal fin would just be real.
But I would love it to go the other way. We bought you a burger. You know what? I'm good. I don't really need one. And the fin starts going up. And you're trying to act like you're not in the mood for a burger. And the fin goes other
fin
way.
Fin don't lie. They know.
Fin don't lie.
You want to do another story?
Let's do one, dude.
Sent in by Winona at Winona_Rose. A substitute teacher. Already.
Already you know possible. How she...
Without you saying anything else, I'm like, overextended his or her power. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, it's always too, like, really think about substitute teacher. Like, are you into kids? Kind of.
I'm into money.
Like 3 days a week, maybe two.
Right.
Not every day.
The other thing you're into is you're in between jobs.
Yeah.
That's what you're into.
Into other people's kids? Not really. Like maybe 6 times a month, maybe.
Here's what I'm into as a substitute teacher. Disrespect.
Yeah.
Because that's all
like
you get.
That. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what you get.
It's like the same hours as a fireman, but like none of the hero worship anything else.
And when I was a kid, if we knew there was a substitute, it was just game on. Like,
game
that
on.
Was it.
Lights out.
Game on.
A substitute teacher in Oklahoma was arrested on indecent exposure charges Friday after doing a cartwheel in front of high school students while not wearing underwear.
Man or woman.
That dude's a hero.
This is that dude. This is her.
Oh, okay.
Kind of attractive.
She's kind of attractive.
Mm-hmm.
You would watch the cartwheel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're high school.
You can't not watch a cartwheel, especially a spontaneous cartwheel.
Although it's not like she sat there and put her feet up.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't Sharon Stone it.
Right.
Well, according
to, or maybe she did.
According
she
to police, Lacey Sponsler.
Yeah.
Sponsler. 34.
Lacey Sponsler. Mm-hmm. That's a very
34?
Lacey Sponsler.
34.
Yeah.
34 seems old when you're in high school. We all know, like, 34 is pretty young.
34, she's got plenty of bad decisions still to go.
Exposed herself to a choir class of juniors at Pawhuska High School, about 50 miles north of Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Lacey Ponsler.
Was there a context for the cartwheel, number one? Number two, I've had it happen, and I don't know if you guys, it must have happened with the Sklars, but I've done, I was just shooting like a promo thing for Spike the other day, and like I just pulled up and, you know, the wardrobe chicks were like, oh, we got these jeans, we got these shirts, you try the jeans on, and they're like standing there, and I was like, I'm not wearing underwear. Like, I realized, like, I did not
oh,
put
shit,
underwear.
I forgot to put underwear on.
Like, I'm naked, that's and happened. I got to go in the other room and close the door or whatever. But yeah. I don't always have a clear 100% understanding of right. whether...
Or remembrance that you put it on.
I put on, like, if I'm wearing sweatpants, like, now I'll put on underpants. Sometimes if I wear jeans, I won't. And, free you balling. Know, if I just spontaneously celebrate with a cartwheel, that's kind of well, on whoever's around, you
exactly.
know?
Exactly. She was wearing a skirt.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The police report alleged that the incident was caught on video on a female student's cell phone, which showed the teacher doing the cartwheel and, quote, exposing her bare buttocks.
Okay, so enough time for a kid to get out her cell phone.
She announced the cartwheel.
No, get to her photo app.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You know, because that takes time.
You guys want to see a cartwheel?
Switch it to video.
Who wants to see a cartwheel?
No, I'm getting my phone out. Right. You have to keep going. You have to keep switching it from photo to video.
I want the cartwheel context, because I feel like...
Who's asking for it?
She's in choir. This choir. Mm-hmm. They're right. doing maybe some choreographed thing.
Nothing is physical.
Something out. Right. She's a huge Patriots fan. Like, I don't know. Like the fact that the camera was out suggests that she was leading into
oh,
it.
Oh, I'm going to do a cartwheel. No, you're not.
Well, originally, sponsor denied having done the cartwheel, but upon being confronted with evidence of her doing it,
video.
She changed her story and
you
claimed
know
she
the
did
principle.
Not remember doing the deed.
Right. You know the
Here's
principle is like, did you do, you didn't do a cartwheel? Like,
no.
How long did he let that go on? So right. you're just saying you didn't. So you're just
did
saying
you, do
you didn't.
A cartwheel?
You didn't do a cartwheel.
Did you do a
no,
cartwheel?
No, I did not. No, I did
me
not.
Me either.
One time when I was working for A&B Carpets, always better carpets or something. We're cleaning carpets. Yeah, the part where they have all the evidence and then just start asking random questions and you know what they're asking, but all you can do is lie.
Right.
We were cleaning the Russian tea room, which was in the Beverly Center a million years ago. Mm-hmm. And they left us there all night to clean the carpets and then lock up. And we were just having shots. We got into the bar. We're having shots. And I went into the back and I found like the dessert freezer. And there's like a collection. And yes. ladyfingers. Yeah, I was just 19, just shoving them in my
shoveling
mouth.
Shoveling it.
And then I guess one of the guys I was working with, Chris, was also somehow found that area and was shoveling stuff. And anyway, the next day, I talked to my boss, Art, and he was like, how'd it go over the Russian tea room? I was like, mm-hmm. good,
that's
good.
Stars.
It went really
yeah.
good.
You guys
really
good. You did all the work. You did a good time.
Yeah, it was good. Really good.
Everything went on schedule?
Perfect.
And you cleaned everything up?
When you got out of there, we couldn't even tell you were there, I'm assuming, but when you left?
No, it's good. It's all good. And then he's like...
So if I were to call them...
He's like, did you eat anything? I was like... No, I mean, here's the part I like. I don't remember. Not that I can recall.
In my lifetime?
Because
I've eaten stuff in my lifetime.
The second he asked that specific of a question, you're clocking, does he know? How much does he know?
What does he know? How does he know? Does somebody talk? What's he know? So I was like, I don't know. Maybe. I don't think so. Like, maybe I may have had a bite of something or something. We were too busy cleaning the carpets. And he's like, okay, so you sure? You sure you didn't have any, like, dessert? Did you have any dessert? And I was like... I don't kind of remember.
Maybe.
Like I had something with a pecan. I don't remember.
It's you like walking into a room with there's no lights on and you've never been in the room before.
And I know he knows something.
How
and I know.
What do I know?
My buddy Chris, we both got drunk. Because I left the bar open.
Why?
And so we got drunk, and my buddy Chris, unbeknownst to me, went into the cold storage room, and he found a case of, like, these eclairs, and he thought, we're going to take them. Mm-hmm. But we got to smuggle them out of here. So he stuffed them into the solution tank of the carpet cleaning machine.
No.
And because he was drunk, he forgot.
And he left them in there.
So when we left the fucking van overnight, Art, who's like cleaning out the machines, found a case of, you know.
You would have gotten away with it had he not done it.
Would have gotten away with it. And Art knew he had a carpet cleaning machine with a case of eclairs stuffed in a solution tank, but he wouldn't share that with me. Right. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea what Chris was up to. I knew I'd gone into the freezer and eaten some stuff.
It's great. You can't write it any better.
No,
that you're dying for his mistake. You're
that's
on
right.
the vine.
For
this woman,
sin.
You know the principal was like, so you didn't do any
didn't
sort
do
of a cartwheel or anything? Yeah.
No,
you were fine in class, didn't do anything.
I mean, the kids seem to have a great class. Uh-huh. The female student also claimed Sponsler was talking about taking drugs and, quote, how she thought 14-year-old boys were just like men. The student said the teacher announced she was not wearing underwear prior to performing the cartwheel.
That's when the phone comes out.
Wow. This is a woman laying the work down for having sex with one of these kids.
Oh, yeah. She's like, we're going to have a relationship.
Yeah.
And she's picking them out in the choir.
Mm-hmm. By the way, you're going to allow for her to do it a lot more than you are if it were a male teacher.
Yeah, now it's a harmless little cartwheel.
Right. That's juniors, too. That's like 16, 17-year-old kids.
Yeah.
Are they're scarred one way, because they saw a girl?
Nah, they're one way away from being legal. 1 year away from being legal.
Depends on the state.
Well, you know, it's always sad and telling, like, when guys see this, and guys are like, you know, when you hear the story, like, the teacher had sex with the 15-year-old. She had sex with 3 15-year-old boys, and they did it in the same afternoon, and went to her house, and they did it on a lounge chair by the pool, mm-hmm. and, like, all the women are disgusted, and the guys are like, geez, ah, boy, what the hell is this world coming to? And then they show a picture of her, and she's hot, and then the guys are like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can see. All right, so that's
Look,
cool.
You're going to ask these boys who are in the throes of puberty, who are just literally, like, have
their sexual peak.
Have all this ammunition that has to get unloaded. It's like it's like Aroldis Chapman in his garage. You got to just fire that shit off somewhere.
Right.
You just fire it into your own garage. Mm-hmm. That's what happens. And if she's going to put herself out there like that, it is going to be very difficult for a 15-year-old boy to be like, or nope.
17-year-old
boy. It's going to be very difficult for a 15-year-old boy to not say yes fast enough.
Right.
Yeah, right.
I would make the ultimate defense attorney for one of these teachers, because they always do these ones where they had these like 2-year affairs with the guys from the time they're in the 10th grade to their senior year and blah, blah, blah. And they're like hot blondes and they're out of Florida and blah, 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 blah. And then at some point it ends up in court and the prosecutor starts talking about irreparable damage and psychological damage. And this boy's going to need therapy for the rest of his life. And he's not going to trust women. He's not going to trust adults. And I was like, and I would say, I'd let him wax on forever. And then I'd go, I got one question and one question only for the victim of this crime. You're 19 now. Yes. This went on from 15 to 17. Yes. Since it stopped until now, have you ever beat off to it? Yes. Yeah. Earlier today.
Case closed.
We're done. I'll drop my briefcase.
Close out the briefcase and walk out.
Anything you beat off to is not scarring and it's not a violent crime. Like if you own a liquor store and some thug comes in and strong arms you, don't beat off.
No, you don't.
To it. But
well, some people.
You have beat off to this multiple times. Thus, where's really the victim in this scenario?
You can't claim that it's a victim thing. But
and you know he has. Had to have beat off to it hundreds of times.
If he says a few,
even if he says a few times, it's like
add a couple zeros.
Andy Pettit. You really took steroids once? No.
Right.
Add a couple zeros.
The most graphic part of the police report came at the end, where the student claims to have seen Sponsler's vagina open and close in the process of the cartwheel.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like he was talking to her.
Yeah.
Open and close. Open and close. First of all,
why is
that? You're too close to the cartwheel.
That's right.
Any.
Open and close. And I would say, as Serge Vett, this is an open and close case.
Yep.
This is an open and close case, right?
Yeah. It just sounds like the Chief Wiggum's like kid from Simpsons.
Assaulted.
There was a vagina, and the vagina looked at me, and it opened, and then it closed.
Ralphie.
Yeah, Ralphie.
Mr. Wiggum?
Can we stop dropping dimes on everybody?
Yeah. Like, if I was a 17-year-old kid, I would have been like, guys,
shut up.
Nobody needs to tell her. We need her to be a sub much as possible.
Every time.
Every time.
That's
I would be so mad at the people who like let it out.
Don't take your phone out. Do not take your phone out. There is no evidence.
Sponsler explained that her behavior by saying she was, quote, just dancing with students and trying to be a cool teacher.
By the way, that sounds worse than what she did.
Yeah.
It sounds way worse than what she did. If she would have said I opened and closed my vagina in front of them, I'd be like, okay.
Right.
Just dancing with the students.
Trying to be a cool teacher.
It's not like she let a bird out of it or anything. She was just
open
doing
and closed.
A little baby
That's
bird.
That's not even how a cartwheel works. That's a little, horrible form.
A tiny parakeet.
Like a hummingbird.
Yeah.
And now the class has to take care of it. It becomes like the class pet.
Yeah. We gotta name it.
And they changed the choir name to the hummingbirds.
The tiny bird flies out, and that's the end of that one. Two stories down in the books. The great Adam Carolla is with us on Dumb People Town. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back with one more segment right after this.
Stick around. Make a sound. There's more Dumb People Town.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Dumb People Town, final segment.
We should mention we're going to be in Cleveland. I know people are getting their tickets there at the Great Hilarities, March 9th through the 11th. Then we'll be in Portland, Oregon, the 23rd through the 25th with Daniel Van Kirk.
Nice. At Helium.
At Helium, phenomenal comedy. I know you've been to Helium up there in Portland. Great club up there. And then we'll be at the Moon Tower Comedy Festival in April in Austin, Texas. That'll be a really
21st
fun.
And 22nd, I believe.
Dan will be there, too. We're going to do a live Dumb People Town while we're there. And
we're doing shows and sets. It'll be great.
It's a great festival. Really, really good time. And again, check out all of Adam's dates to see him live at adamcarolla.com. And shall we jump to the last story?
Last story, and then we have a great guest coming at the end.
That's right.
Which we will keep as a surprise.
Toad King, at the Toad King, sent it in. I hope that's his real name.
It's like the worst version of a Counting Crows song ever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just saw this story. I saw about this study, and I could not wait to hear what you guys thought of it. And then when it worked out that, Adam, you were going to be our guest, I know you will have an opinion. Mm-hmm. Masturbation breaks should become a new workplace trend, according to a new report.
Absolutely.
How much work do you get done in the minutes after a good masturbation?
Oh,
the refractory period work is, I mean, that's how we landed the man on the moon.
Yeah, that's right. We're not going to do this unless everybody calms down a little bit.
There's a companion piece to Hidden Figures.
a lot of figures were hidden there.
Yeah, we got spanking and stalls. That's how we got those men safely to the moon and back.
That's right.
Taking a few minutes to de-stress and, quote, relieve tension while on the job could actually boost productivity and make employees happier, psychology professor Mark Sargent of Nottingham Trent University told Metro UK.
This is the kind of fact that, like, is why Norway is the happiest place to live. Because they have, like, jerk-it breaks.
Yep.
Whereas, because we're a puritanical society based on puritanical beliefs that don't no longer exist and no longer
apply
to the life that we lead, that is the reason why it's very difficult for us.
I don't know if I need this to become a common part of every workplace. Because have you ever been, I don't know, back in the day, renting something from Blockbuster or even at the grocery store when they're very busy and a manager starts to argue with someone about how they need to take their break?
Yeah.
I don't need it to hear this. You jacked off?
Have you jerked off today?
Because before you come back and handle these people's produce, I need you to go jerk off. Please release
the tension.
We're going to get a penalty and then I got to pay you extra. I'm not doing it. So please go rub one out.
By the way, think about... And I don't want to get too macabre here, but like think about like mass murders and stuff like that.
Sure.
If they had just jerked off right before.
Yeah, instead of
release the tension.
Instead of on the corpses,
you know what I'm saying?
Yes. But do you want to know everyone you work with is jacking off?
No, but I always think about like studies. And, you know, they do these studies and then they always get these groups and I would like to be involved with like this study because like this guy's got to go like to the break room in the lab and they got to be like, what are you doing? I'm here for the sleep deprivation study. How's that go? It just sees how long you can ride an elliptical without sleeping before you die.
Right.
Oh, okay. What are you
sounds
here
awful.
For? I'm doing the beat off study.
Oh, why did I get the beat off study?
Yeah, I got to get back to work pretty quick here. I just want to grab some Danish and drink some Pedialyte.
Well, don't touch everything.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to actually have a banana because there's
just take them all. You've touched
them all.
I need the Pedialyte and the banana has a lot of calcium and potassium and doctor says I'm losing a lot of that, so anyway, have fun with the sleep deprivation.
Good luck on that elliptical thing. Yeah,
also later on we're gonna find out how cocaine affects masturbation, so that's gonna be fun.
Should be fun.
A lot of good variables.
Not as fun as what you're doing. I really think you're doing God's work over there. So,
Dr. Cliff Arnold, a psychologist and life coach, agreed with that assessment. Quote, I would expect a masturbation policy to result in more focus, less aggression, higher productivity, and more smiling, Dr. Arnold told Metro UK. Certainly taking a masturbation break for boredom or an escape would increase work focus.
Look, I think there's a moment where we all do what we do, and we're sitting here on these microphones, or you're up standing in front of people and you think to yourself, I can't believe we get to do this. Having worked other jobs yourself, having like put yourself in like hard
labor
situations.
Every time I hate what I'm doing, I just think about when I was a gravedigger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't need to be doing that anymore.
I drove that monster truck for a while.
So you know. Mm-hmm. So I, life coach, Does every life coach just have a moment where, like, I can't fucking believe I get paid for this?
Yeah, got it.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not even psychologist, right. Psychiatrist.
It's
you
just
go to
confident
school.
Advice.
Life coach is just like, there is no way to test whether you're doing it right. There's no way to check whether you're, it to me is like a niche of, and they do well.
Life even coaches. If somebody complains, you get to come back with, I'm sorry, I'm your life coach, not your this year coach. So has it ended yet?
Let's take the long
Let's
look.
See how it goes.
Let's take the long view.
I couldn't be a good life coach. I feel like the information I would dispense would be good, but I'd constantly be telling people to take a lap. Like they'd be like, hey, you're 5 minutes late to our life coaching session. Yeah. And they'd be like, sorry, I ran it. Well, why don't you think about it while you're taking
a
lap?
And while you're out there, jerk one. Just
yeah,
jerk one.
By the way, helmet's not a chair. Grab a knee. Let's go. I'd have to infuse. I'd be wearing bike shorts with two snaps on them in the front. Clipboard tucked into the back. Like I'd take my coaching pretty seriously. Yeah, you know?
That would be. Coach. But I mean, it just there has to be a moment. I see that. I remember watching that. Did you see that Metallica documentary?
Like yes.
Monster. Or, yes. You know, God, the
when
life
the psychologist, life
the
coach.
Life that life coach for the band. When that guy came in to kind of like really ease the tensions between Hetfield
and
Lars Ulrich.
And he's like, they're like, what are you still doing here, man? He's like, I was going to go on tour and keep you guys going. And they're like,
what? We don't fucking need you anymore.
And by the way, like your psychologist telling you it's cool, even important and medicinal to beat off at work is like your nutritionist going, oh, fudge is fine.
Yeah.
Fudge is nothing wrong with fudge.
Get in there.
There's nothing wrong with fudge.
Got a bad rap.
Yeah, got a bad rap. No, right. Help yourself. Oh, really? It's all good. I was kind of guilty about it. No, by all means. By all means.
The topic of work masturbation breaks come up in the wake of a survey by Guy Fee. I don't know how that's pronounced.
Guy Fieri.
Yeah, that's who did it. He did it himself.
Have you ever
and
met Guy Fieri?
They've been jerking it that way
You've
for 62
him,
years.
No, I've never met him.
I mean, let's roll out.
I feel like I know him because he's so him.
Just a bowling shirt him. With a goatee.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
He's the personification of Smash Mouth.
Yeah. I know.
The topic of work masturbation breaks came up in the wake of Guy Fieri's survey, described as a masturbation pop-up booth. I guess they had one of these in New York, that found that 40% of workers in New York already take such breaks while clocked in. Mm. I don't think I've ever jacked off at work.
Look, this is also one of those moments where you
well,
need to make sure.
Well, as a grave digger, that would be really disrespectful.
Really?
Disrespectful. Like when the grieving family comes around, like, what's he doing? Oh,
he's just releasing some tension.
Why is he hunched
I'm
over?
I'm trying to be more productive. That's that whole Nana. Thing itself.
Yeah, that's right.
Nana wouldn't have wanted it this way. Right.
Hey, she died doing what she loved. No, but this is one of those times where at
she
work,
died doing what I love.
If you're going to have a jerk-off policy, I think you need a bigger, more emphatic wash your hands before you go back into the workplace sign.
Mm-hmm. Earlier polls by Time Out New York and Glamour respectively discovered that 39% of men said they masturbate at work, while, let's, I'm going to ask you guys, what percentage of women say
one.
They made some time at work for self-love? Is 39% for men?
Well, if we're talking
39 for men
are we talking
work.
Substitute teachers here? Because that's a different category of women
well,
who would do this.
The thing about women, like, on one hand, they got, like, no muss, no fuss. Like, they got, like, a smokeless cigarette between their legs.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's going to know
right. they got
what's
a lot
happening.
Options.
Yeah, yep. It's not like you walk back in and, hey, Bob, yeah, one of your mittens is stuck to your shoulder. Like, oh, what?
Right.
Oh, this mitten? Yeah.
Meanwhile, you get an appropriate place door jam, a girl can go to town.
Yeah. Right. So they don't really take much. Also, now, you know what's always funny? When guys talk to women about masturbating, it's just so we can beat off to them beating off.
Yes.
Like, remember in high
MC
school, like, come
Escher
on.
Painting,
just
admit it.
It's natural.
Just say you did
it's
it.
Totally natural.
Come on.
Like,
tell
come
me
on.
About
yeah.
it.
Yeah, like you're in a tub,
like,
you light a candle
first,
or
right?
something, right? Like,
yeah,
you just
like
use the water.
The
like,
sink.
It's cool, right? Like, it's fine. Like, we actually love masturbating so much that we want to talk to women so we can beat off
to
about
their
masturbating.
And Jen Kirkman, great comedian, has just such great material about what she needs. Like, I need a whole. Someone's like, I think you're old. You
what
know.
Do you beat off to Johnny Depp? And she's like, no.
Why is he there? Why is he at my house? What's the backstory? I need this and I need that. Oh. The whole
you know
thing.
How women too are like, they go like, I had an orgasm like in my sleep. It's like, what happened? I dreamt I made love to a man. Who was it? He didn't have a face. It's like, what?
He doesn't need a face.
It's like, why no face?
No, just listen. You needed two ears.
Just a faceless ear.
We're like Linda Carter, right? She's riding a horse. I got it. It's laid out perfectly. Like, they didn't have a face, you know? It's a mystery. I couldn't tell. It was more of a presence than it was an actual man. I mean, like, wouldn't you just beat off the Dolph Lundgren? Like, no, this didn't have a face.
No, it's too weird.
I'm going to say, now you have to account for women.
39% of men, so just right. keep that so number in the pocket.
You got to figure, it's easier for women, right. And also through doing Loveline, like I found out that women can just have like orgasms like on workout equipment and stuff yes. like that just without you even knowing it. But this is self-inflicted. Mm-hmm. And you would have to admit this to a researcher right. who was then going to go beat off to it later on on his next break. When Johan takes his next yeah. break, he's going to squeeze
Could
one
you
off
just
to
talk
you.
About it one more time into the camera. My camera wasn't there.
Okay. Just need one quick, a little more detail.
I'm going to say 11%.
11%.
That, I agree.
Randy Sklar.
I think it's 7%.
7%
yes, I think
of
they
women.
Just don't admit. I mean, why would they admit it to this?
Okay.
I'm going to go against the grain and say 46%.
46. The amount of percentage of women who admitted to making time for self-love while at work, 31%.
Wow! Yeah. Impressive.
Progressive.
Yeah. So wow. the next time I get in front of 3.5 women, mm-hmm. I'm going to look. One is beating off at work.
Yes.
I'm
going to
go like, no.
Tell me about it, though. Let's just say you are.
One
tell
of
me
you.
About it.
You were gone from that meeting for an awfully long time.
Statistically, one of you. And by the way, if I wore a skirt, I'd probably beat off 11 times a day.
Yes,
like,
me too.
My hand would just wander
easier
up.
Yes.
Constantly.
Do a car, yeah. You do a cartwheel while you do it?
I would walk on bad traffic.
Go to town.
A bird flies out.
And an article by Ravishly stated that workplace masturbation is the new smoke break. I doubt that. And called it a good way to boost output and creativity.
Definitely boost output.
I completely support that. And I think like the world would be a better, happier, calmer
place. In a stall?
In a toilet. Flush it away.
No.
Family bathroom.
That should be the new plot of Flushed Away 3.
You're going to have to teach our young boys like not to get into one of those positions where you have to be like sitting in a dental chair or something. Yeah. Like there's a lot of guys
yes.
early on that get married to a very vulnerable position.
Right. This is
and
it's a grave.
Once you yes. yeah. It's like, hey, I'm gonna have a talk with my son. Like, let me tell you something. The position
don't get too
and lube is a very, very wicked mistress.
Yes.
Like you're gonna have a love hate relationship with
her. Pardon the phrase. It's a slippery slope.
You will, because you'll get married to lube, and then you'll be camping for 3 days.
And it won't be there.
This
and
is
it
like
will
when,
not be there.
This is like when, you know, in the Stanley Cup, when team wins the Stanley Cup, they do the dumbest tradition ever. They let everybody on the team have the cup for a little while. For a day or a couple of days in the year that the team has won. Yep. And that's, look, some guys can handle it. Other guys can't. Chris Draper of the Detroit Red Wings let his... He was potty training his kid and let his kid
take a dump
in the cup. Now, people drink from the cup. You
right.
know what I mean? And people
sure.
probably drank from it after that.
Sure.
However, forget about that. That's unclean and that's terrible. But you're potty training your kid. That's a terrible.
I'm in the process right now.
Same thing. That is a very difficult thing. What if the kid can only now shit on championship hardware? Mm-hmm. You got to become friends with the Williams sisters. Say,
bring a couple of those Wimbledon
plate over.
Oh,
my
yeah.
kid's got to go. Like I need. It is a dangerous area to put yourself. Same with the dental chair jerk off.
Yeah. No, you got it. You'll get married to that position where it's like, oh, I need my toes locked out and my calves bunched up. And it's like, no. I'm going to teach my kid to beat off while he's being chased by a bear.
Right.
I want you to be able to switch one off.
Growing up poor.
Running serpentine from cops.
Growing
shooting
up poor
at you.
Helps you because
yeah.
you can eat anywhere.
Yeah.
You can sleep anywhere.
You can
jerk off anywhere.
Run.
You don't
jerk
grow up with options.
Super important.
Yeah.
Super important.
Teach your kids that.
Yeah,
so
I want to see you like in the company head with a yoga mat like laid out and a candle lit and people walk stepping over you as you're going in to wash their hands and stuff. No way.
It's too much. Because the second they see you pull out the yoga mat.
There we go.
There he goes, Jeff.
Yep, he's taking a break. break.
There goes Jeff.
Oh, he's got a scented candle.
He's
Look at him.
He's going to be a lot calmer when he comes back.
Here
but
comes
I mean,
the lube. Here it comes.
He needs it for productivity.
I love it. All right, that's a great story. All right, before we go, Super Bowl just happened, and of course, the Patriots won. And then we talked
in
about
epic
the,
comeback fashion.
We talked about this on Adam's show. We talked about the fact that there were some stolen items.
Yeah.
Tom Brady's jersey, the football that was at the end of the game.
Texas state officials getting in on it. We actually have an inside scoop.
We have an inside scoop with a guy who's close to the Patriots, close
to Tom
Brady.
Let him in here.
Let him in the door. He's a friend of the show. He's a big time movie star. Mark Wahlberg is joining us. Mark Wahlberg,
Wow, you did get Mark Wahlberg.
We got Mark Wahlberg in here.
I thought this was a goof.
No, this is real. This is real. And we want some questions answered about this Super Bowl thing. Mark, how are you?
How you guys doing? You doing good?
Yeah, we're doing good.
Really
doing
great.
Great. Great. It's fucking nice great to be here. What's up, Adam? How are you, man?
Hey, I just want to thank you because we're at like the Beverly Hills Hotel,
yep.
And I was eating lunch with like a couple of like heavy hitter radio guys,
mm-hmm.
and Wahlberg was out there in the patio,
mm-hmm.
and he just came by and said, "Hi, Adam," and like,
dude, I'm
like,
a big fan, man.
Well, I'm a fan too, but it got me a lot of stock with the radio guy.
Great, so. Happy day, moment. Hey, anytime I get back like that,
I'm glad you remember that.
He considers it giving back, but yeah. You know, I think
the amount of stuff I do for Donnie, that doesn't even compare.
Oh,
you know?
Right.
And Donnie needs a lot of stuff done for him. Well, you were at the Super Bowl.
I was at the Super Bowl.
You left early, though.
Did I?
That's what
did you leave early?
Okay, see, that was the report is that he left early.
Did I?
I don't know. I'm asking you. Did you?
Did they win that game?
They did win the game, so I think you did stick around.
Yeah.
Did you hear about all this
stolen memorabilia?
They couldn't find the ball after the game,
right?
And they couldn't find Tom Brady's jersey, and everyone's saying it's an inside.
It wasn't stolen, dude.
Who's got it?
Who's got it?
I played fourth quarter as Brady.
What?
I just took the jersey home with me.
You played the fourth.
I'm the one who wore it. Down 19 going to the fourth quarter. Did you see Invincible? You think I'm going to let it stand out there like that?
No.
What happened? Oh, it's true because Brady was like a new person.
He was like a totally different person. He did look a little shorter.
Yeah, I thought it was just a pound he took, but his guns were bigger. He was a little bit shorter.
Yeah, dude.
Kind of moved around better.
I came out there. I took a troll. I went up to Bobby K. Uh-huh. I go, Bobby K.
Uh-huh.
Let me fix this shit right
Bob Kraft.
Now.
Wow, Bob Kraft.
Yeah,
the white collar genius.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he said, go ahead.
Yeah, dude. And Billy B was like, are you sure about this? I'm like, yes, Billy B.
Bob Kraft's collar is whiter than most of his receivers.
Right. But it can never match the color of his shirt. Shirt's got to be blue. Collars and cuffs got to be white.
Style. He's got good
you
style.
You like that style?
Yeah, dude. So I came down and I stepped into the game. So I don't think a jersey's stolen if you wore it and won the game.
So you took it.
I took the jersey that I wore
to win the
game for
the
Patriots.
The jersey and the ball.
Oh, it's framed up in my house right now.
Nice.
Yeah.
You're not going to hang it at a Wahlburgers?
Somebody will steal it.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that's all right.
When you say somebody, you mean Donnie.
If he needs the money bad enough.
Yeah,
so could you see him down at the local flea market?
Yeah,
Donnie, just get a good deal for it.
You know. And that's and that is the thing. You got to watch. When you got someone in the family who's not up to the snuff.
Yeah. You always got to keep an eye on that Jenny McCarthy, too. Oof. She's
hurting about
now, too.
She is hurting about now, and she could always be right in Donnie's ear. Just take it.
Yeah, no, I don't trust her at all.
I told her,
you two keep this up, you're getting kicked out of the garage. They're living like Mike Seaver.
They're living in the garage.
They're like Mike Seaver in Growing Pains.
Wow. They're living in your garage?
Yeah, they're living above the garage.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. They got their chore wheel. They're fucking good kids.
I did not know that.
Mike Seaver had a friend called Boner.
Yeah. Went to Marines, died.
Oh.
He died in the Marines?
Yeah, and I think in real life he killed himself.
What?
Should have worked out more.
Yeah, I know. He should have worked out more, and that
cardio cures everything.
Wow.
Does it? Oh, you got a boxing ring in your backyard,
yeah,
right?
Dude, I love to throw them up.
You throw out the gloves and just...
Yeah, we got the whole deal set up at the gym. You guys should come out sometime.
I would love to come. And you box.
Yeah.
So you know.
I'd love to see
The Hammer?
That.
Great movie, man.
Oh, thanks.
Seriously, I'm telling you. You do like real movies where you're like an athlete who goes and like overcomes shit. I do that all the time in my daily life, and sometimes we film it.
Jay, how much did you... I know. Jay, how much did you cry at Deepwater Horizon?
I cried like a baby.
On a plane.
On a plane.
Because
I recently watched it. Cried
that was
like
all
a baby.
Real.
That was real?
Yeah.
That actually, I know that
they
actually.
Spilled it again.
They spilled the oil again.
I said, I want this authentic. And Peter B. was like, let's do this.
Pete Berg, man. That guy's out of control.
BP signed on to just spilling all that shit again.
Oil? They don't give a shit, dude.
They really don't give a shit.
The supply goes down, then the demand goes up. But let me ask you this.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Do you guys see Patriots Day?
Yeah. No.
What?
I haven't seen it yet.
No,
I haven't seen it.
We all heard it.
I thought it was about Tom Brady. I didn't know.
We everyone heard it was good and then decided we didn't want to see it.
Yeah.
That's one of those. They're like, ah, you see Patriots Day? I heard it was good.
Yeah, you should go see it.
Are you going to see it?
No, I just keep hearing it's good.
It was good.
Definitely go see it.
There's no pizza version of that.
Three people saying.
Have you tried meatball? No, heard it was great. Never going to try it.
Never going to try it.
Well, you should.
Well, there's really no opportunity for me to try it.
Well, you're in luck because we're making another Daddy's Home 2 with me and Will.
Really?
So you can come check it out. My kids love that, man.
Daddy's back home.
Yeah, dude. It's going to be really good.
I believe it's going to be good. All right, listen, you get that jersey. You frame it up. I say,
yeah,
hey,
what do I have to do? I'm the one who won the goddamn game.
That's right.
Everybody thinks I left. No, I took over.
This makes so much more sense now. Exactly. In retrospect.
I'm glad we finally have the end of the story here.
Greatest thing that ever happened. You put me involved. Greatest thing ever happened.
True.
Look at Boogie Nights. That's the only movie Paul Thomas Anderson's made that anybody wants to watch.
Well, I think he did some others, but.
Do you?
Well,
yeah. Transformers. Could LaBeouf do it?
LaBeouf could not do it.
No, Shia LaBeouf got out. Now who's running the show?
You are.
Yeah.
You are.
Yeah. We even put the old dude from Westworld in the next one.
That's
wow.
You know the robot guy that killed Jodie Foster?
Yeah. Tom Hankley Jr.?
No, the dude.
He's like spoiling Westworld right now for people?
No, he killed Jodie Foster like in 1991.
Oh. The old, are you talking about,
some documentary about
serial killers?
Safe Room.
Yeah.
Donnie was in
Safe Room.
No, he wasn't.
He was a glorified
background actor.
Yeah, he was an extra. He actually isn't even credited.
He had dialogue.
Are you going to tell me you like Sixth Sense too?
I don't know. He had dialogue in Safe Room. That's all I'm saying.
Everybody acts like Sixth Sense is great. I'm like, Donnie stood in a bathroom and cried because he couldn't eat enough. That happens every fucking Wednesday.
I mean, that was a craft service issue.
Yeah.
Sixth Sense.
All right, Mark Wahlberg, thank you.
Yes. What's the rest of your day? Like, do push-ups nude on a cliff? Is that what happens?
I'm doing 2 11Ks.
Oh, wow.
And then probably do my nighttime workout, hit a little protein shake, make sure Donnie's all tucked in for bed, read him a story, and hit the hay.
I love it. It's a great day.
Beverly Hills Hotel, man.
Dude, give me a heads up when you're in there. Yeah. Right?
He'll be tanning himself.
Yeah,
I'm going to go pick a fight.
All right, Mark Wahlberg.
Wahlberg with us. Oh, my God. Send Van Kirk back in here, please.
He's on his way back in. Right, jeez.
Well, that's a show, guys.
That was a show.
Beautiful job.
Snakes in the House, cartwheels for the substitute teacher.
Yeah.
And jerk-off
breaks at work. Adam Carolla, thank you so much again. Adam Carolla, listen to the Adam Carolla Show if you're not already. Subscribe, listen to it, rate it, review it, all that stuff. Do the same for this show. Dumb People Town, it's actually doing quite nicely in the old charts and whatnot. Thanks to you guys. Rate it, review it, subscribe. That's how we keep it up there. And tell a couple friends about it. And go see Adam when he's live. And go see us when we're live. Thanks so much, guys. We'll see you next week.
Thank you. Dumb, dumb, dumb.